I cannot wait to see the look on her face when she realizes she's the poorest woman in the room.
Lady Euphemia Fairborn smiled cruelly as servants hurried around her, carrying flowers, crystal decorations, and expensive fabrics for what was being called the grandest wedding of the season. Then she turned to one of the servants and added,
"Make sure her seat is close enough to the bride's table. I want her to see exactly what her life could have been."
"Yes, madam."
A few ladies nearby chuckled. Across the room, Lady Millicent Fairborn sat before a mirror while seamstresses made final adjustments to her magnificent wedding gown. Tomorrow, she would marry Duke Benedict Valamont, one of the most powerful and respected noblemen in the kingdom. The entire aristocracy would be there, dukes, earls, ladies, members of the royal household, and among them would be one very special guest, Lady Ottilie Ashcombe, Millicent's older stepsister, the woman neither of them had seen in 8 years. On a small table beside Euphemia rested a cream-colored invitation bearing Ottilie's name. The invitation itself wasn't an act of kindness. It was a performance, a spectacle, a chance to place the poor, forgotten daughter beside the glittering life she supposedly threw away.
"Oh, she'll come. Women like Ottilie always come when they're given one last glimpse of the life they lost."
The women around her laughed again. Millicent managed a smile, but something about the conversation made her uncomfortable. For a brief moment, she remembered a different Ottilie, the sister who used to read stories to her before bed, the sister who held her hand when thunderstorms frightened her, the sister who wiped away her tears and promised she would never be alone. But the memory faded as quickly as it came. After all, for 8 years her mother had told her the same story. Ottilie had abandoned them. Ottilie had left willingly. Ottilie wanted nothing to do with her family. If that wasn't true, then why had she never come back? Why had she never written? Why had she never tried to see her?
"Perhaps she won't come."
Euphemia's smile widened.
"Oh, she will."
Neither woman noticed the elderly maid standing silently near the doorway. Unlike everyone else in the room, she knew exactly what had happened 8 years ago. She knew who had been thrown out. She knew who had lied. And she knew that if Lady Ottilie Ashcombe walked through those doors again, some truths had a way of refusing to stay buried forever. Meanwhile, miles away, Ottilie sat alone, holding the invitation in trembling hands. Despite everything, despite the years of silence, despite the pain, despite the betrayal, part of her still missed the little sister she once loved like her own child. Before we continue, tell me in the comments where you're watching from. I always enjoy seeing how far these stories reach around the world. And if you love powerful stories filled with family betrayal, royal drama, shocking twists, and unforgettable endings, make sure you subscribe to Duke and Duchess Stories and join our growing family. Now, let's begin. Lady Ottilie Ashcombe carefully folded the dark blue nursing apron she had worn during her final examinations and placed it inside the small wooden chest beside her. For several moments, she simply stood there, staring at it. After 8 long years, she had finally done it. She was now a qualified nurse. The achievement should have filled her with pride, yet the tiny room she rented beneath the roof of a narrow boarding house felt strangely quiet that afternoon. Outside her window, a light rain fell over the cobbled streets. Horse-drawn carriages rolled through puddles below, while merchants hurried along with parcels tucked beneath their arms. There was no family waiting to celebrate with her. No father, no mother, no sister. Only memories. The room itself contained very little. A narrow bed, a washstand, a wooden chair, a bookshelf holding a handful of worn medical texts, and a small iron stove that struggled to keep away the damp chill of early spring. Ottilie had worked for every single thing inside that room. She remembered scrubbing floors at coaching inns before dawn. She remembered washing piles of linens until her hands bled. She remembered standing for hours in a kitchen heat while preparing meals she could never afford to eat herself. Many nights she had studied anatomy and nursing manuals by candlelight until her eyes burned with exhaustion. More than once she had fallen asleep at her desk, only to wake hours later with her cheek resting on an open textbook. Yet she had never abandoned her dream. A soft knock interrupted her thoughts. Her closest friend, Miss Honoria Wren, entered carrying a small parcel wrapped in brown paper.
Celebration.
A celebration requires cake, Honoria declared. Otterly laughed softly.
Friend.
It was not a grand cake, merely a small sponge covered with a thin layer of icing, purchased from a local baker. To Otterly, however, it felt more valuable than any feast. As they shared slices beside the stove, her eyes drifted toward the framed portrait resting upon the shelf. Her father. The sight of him reopened a wound that had never fully healed. 8 years earlier, everything had changed. Only days after his death, Lady Euphemia Fairborn had informed her that she was no longer welcome at Ashcombe Manor. She could still remember standing in the entrance hall, clutching a suitcase, while servants avoided meeting her gaze. She had expected grief. Instead, she had been discarded. The few books she loved were all she had been permitted to take. As the carriage carried her away from the estate, she looked back through tear-filled eyes, hoping someone would stop her. No one did. Soon afterward, rumors began spreading through society. People whispered that Otterly had abandoned her family, that she had chosen independence, that she wanted nothing to do with her stepmother or younger sister. Every word was a lie. The cruelest part was what happened with Millicent. As children, the sisters had been inseparable. Otterly had taught her to read. She had brushed her hair before bed. She had comforted her after nightmares. When Millicent scraped her knee while playing in the gardens, it was always Otterly who carried her back inside. For years after leaving Ashcombe Manor, Otterly waited for a letter from her. None ever arrived. Eventually, she convinced herself that Millicent no longer cared. A second knock sounded at the door. The boarding house keeper handed her an elegant cream-colored envelope edged with gold. Otterly frowned. Very few people knew her address. She carefully opened the seal. The moment she began reading, her breath caught. It was a wedding invitation. Lady Millicent Fairborn requested the honor of her presence at the marriage ceremony between herself and His Grace Duke Benedict Valmont. For a long while, Otterly simply stared at the page. 8 years. 8 years without a letter. 8 years without a visit. And now this. Honoria's expression darkened as she read the invitation.
You are not considering attending, are you?
Otterly did not answer immediately.
I think you should burn it. After what they did to you, nothing good can come from that house.
Perhaps her friend was right. The invitation made little sense. Why now? Why after all these years? Why invite the daughter everyone claimed had abandoned the family? Yet despite every warning, old memories returned. Millicent laughing in the gardens. Millicent reaching for her hand. Millicent calling her big sister.
I have to go. They will hurt you, perhaps. And if they humiliate you, I still want to see her.
That evening, she opened a wardrobe standing beside her bed. Inside hung only one dress suitable for such an occasion. Simple, modest, several years old, nothing like the gowns that would fill a duke's wedding. Standing before the mirror, Otterly smoothed the fabric with trembling hands. For the first time since receiving the invitation, doubt settled heavily upon her heart. Was her sister truly inviting her because she wished to see her again, or was she walking straight into a humiliation 8 years in the making?
The journey to Valmont Estate took nearly half a day. Otterly sat quietly inside the hired carriage, her gloved hands resting in her lap as rolling fields and stone villages passed beyond the window. The closer she came to the estate, the heavier her chest felt. Several times she considered asking the driver to turn around. Each time, memories of Millicent as a little girl stopped her. By late afternoon, the estate finally came into view.
Veilmont Estate stood upon a gentle rise, overlooking acres of manicured gardens and ancient woodland. Hundreds of servants moved across the grounds, making final preparations for the wedding. White tents had been erected near the rose gardens. Fresh flowers arrived by wagon. Stable boys rushed between carriages as guests from across the kingdom arrived one after another. Ottilie stepped down from her carriage and immediately became aware of how different she looked from everyone around her. Ladies emerged from elegant coaches wearing silk travelling gowns trimmed with lace and pearls. Gentlemen wore finely tailored coats, polished boots, and expensive watches suspended from gold chains. Her own dress was neat and respectable, but simple. It had been carefully mended several times over the years. For the first time since leaving her boarding house, she regretted coming. A servant checked her invitation and escorted her inside.
Thank you.
The entrance hall glittered beneath enormous crystal chandeliers. Portraits of noble ancestors lined the walls. Silver trays carried refreshments through the crowd. Guests helped themselves to delicate pastries, sugared fruits, smoked salmon canapés, and sparkling wine. As Ottilie moved through the room, she noticed whispers beginning almost immediately. Several women glanced toward her before leaning closer to one another. A gentleman briefly studied her dress before raising an eyebrow. Another guest whispered something that produced quiet laughter. She lowered her eyes and continued walking. Years of hardship had taught her how to endure uncomfortable attention. Near the grand staircase stood Lady Millicent Fairbourne. For a moment, Ottilie almost smiled. Her younger sister looked beautiful. The ivory gown suited her perfectly. Diamonds sparkled against her neck. Fresh white roses decorated her carefully arranged hair. Millicent's eyes met hers. For a brief second, something flickered across her face. Surprise, uncertainty, perhaps even guilt. Then the expression disappeared. She offered a polite smile, more suitable for a distant acquaintance than a beloved sister. "Thank you for coming, Ottilie." The words sounded formal, rehearsed, not at all what Ottilie had imagined during the long journey. "You look well," Ottilie replied gently. Millicent nodded before glancing toward nearby guests.
Ottilie,
the conversation ended almost
you.
As quickly
Lady
as it began.
A pleasure.
A painful
you
emptiness settled inside
tonight.
Ottilie.
Thank you.
8 years apart had transformed them into strangers. Before she could say anything else, Lady Euphemia Fairbourne appeared. Her elegant emerald gown swept across the marble floor as she approached. "Dear Ottilie," she said warmly. The affection in her voice sounded convincing enough to fool anyone listening. She embraced her lightly. "We are so pleased you accepted the invitation." Ottilie knew immediately that the performance was for the benefit of surrounding guests. Still, she forced herself to remain polite. The first humiliation arrived moments later. Euphemia studied Ottilie's dress with an exaggerated smile.
"How practical. I suppose nursing requires one to become accustomed to simple things."
Several ladies nearby exchanged amused looks. A few laughed quietly. Ottilie pretended not to notice. Later, during refreshments, Euphemia introduced her to a group of aristocratic guests.
"This is my stepdaughter, Lady Ottilie Ashcombe."
"How do you do?"
Then Euphemia added, "She has spent the last several years supporting herself." The statement sounded harmless, yet the tone suggested failure rather than achievement. Questions followed. "Supporting yourself how? A governess, perhaps? A companion?" When Ottilie explained she had become a nurse, surprise spread through the group. One woman looked almost shocked. "A nurse?" Another smiled awkwardly. "What unusual employment for a lady." The conversation quickly moved elsewhere. Ottilie understood the judgment beneath their manners. Many members of Victorian society still considered nursing unsuitable for women of noble birth. As evening approached, the gathering grew larger. Important guests arrived from London and beyond. The ballroom filled with music, conversation, and laughter. Then came the worst humiliation of all. Standing before a large gathering of guests, Lady Euphemia raised her voice.
I am delighted that both my daughters are present for this occasion. One daughter remained loyal to her family. The other chose to leave us many years ago.
A murmur passed through the crowd. Ottilie felt dozens of eyes settle on her. Some faces showed pity, others showed disapproval. The story society had heard for years suddenly had a face. The daughter who abandoned her family, the selfish girl who walked away. No one questioned it. No one asked for her side. Guests began whispering openly. The judgment spread through the room like smoke. Ottilie remained silent. Arguing would only create a spectacle. Across the ballroom, however, one woman had been watching everything. Lady Constance Bellamy, a respected royal relative seated among the most distinguished guests present. She had observed every glance, every whisper, every carefully disguised insult, every cruel remark hidden beneath polite society manners. As laughter broke out among a small group nearby, Lady Constance slowly rose from her seat. The movement alone drew attention. Then she looked directly at Lady Euphemia Fairbairn and asked a question that silenced the entire hall.
Tell me, Lady Fairbairn, if this young woman abandoned her family, why does she appear to be the only one here behaving with dignity?
A heavy silence settled over the ballroom after Lady Constance Bellamy's question. The laughter vanished. Conversation stopped. Even the musicians seemed uncertain whether they should continue playing. Every eye turned toward Lady Euphemia Fairbairn. Her confident smile faltered, only briefly. Then years of social experience returned to her. She gave a graceful laugh and adjusted the emerald bracelet resting upon her wrist. My dear Lady Constance, I fear you misunderstand the situation. The elderly royal relative remained standing. I would be delighted to understand it correctly. A few nervous chuckles rippled through the room. Euphemia continued.
My stepdaughter left our family many years ago. We were heartbroken. We attempted to help her repeatedly, but she chose her own path.
Several guests nodded. It was the story they had heard for years, the story society accepted as fact. Lady Constance looked toward Ottilie.
Is that true?
For a moment, Ottilie wished the polished floor would open beneath her feet. She had spent 8 years surviving, 8 years rebuilding her life. She had never imagined discussing her pain before half the aristocracy. Yet, something in Lady Constance's steady gaze gave her courage. For the first time that evening, she spoke.
No, my lady.
The simple answer echoed through the hall. The silence deepened. Ottilie slowly clasped her hands together.
My father died 8 years ago.
Memories she had spent years trying to bury flooded back.
Leave Ashcombe Manor at once.
Where will I go?
That is not my concern. I was 18. The day after his funeral, I was told to leave Ashcombe Manor. I was given a suitcase and allowed to keep a few books, nothing more.
Several ladies exchanged shocked glances.
I had nowhere to go.
Her voice trembled despite her efforts to remain composed.
I worked wherever I could find employment. I cleaned inns, I washed laundry, I scrubbed floors, I worked in kitchens.
The ballroom remained completely silent. Many guests had never performed such labor in their lives.
I often worked from dawn until evening and studied after everyone else had gone to sleep.
She glanced down at her hands, hands that once had been soft, hands that years of work had transformed.
I wanted to become a nurse. It took me 8 years. But I finally succeeded.
No one laughed now. No one whispered. The room was beginning to see her differently. Millicent stared at her sister in disbelief. The woman standing before her sounded nothing like the selfish daughter she had heard about for years.
If all of that is true, why didn't you contact us?
Ottilie looked at her. The question hurt more than anything else that happened that day.
I did. No. I wrote dozens of times. Not to me.
The room stirred. Millicent's face paled. What are you talking about? I wrote after my first year away. Ottilie swallowed. I wrote when I began my studies. Another painful memory surfaced. I wrote when I became ill. Her eyes filled with tears. And I wrote when I graduated. Millicent shook her head. I never received a single letter. A strange expression appeared on the face of an elderly maid standing near the doorway. Lady Constance noticed immediately. You there! The maid froze. Step forward. The woman obeyed, nervously. Her hands trembled. Do you know anything about these letters? The maid looked toward Euphemia. Fear filled her eyes. Years of loyalty battled against years of guilt. Finally, she lowered her head. Yes, my lady. The room erupted into murmurs. The maid continued. Letters arrived. Millicent stared at her. What happened to them? The woman began crying. Lady Fairbourne ordered them brought directly to her. Millicent slowly turned toward her mother. The maid's voice shook. I saw several burned in the study fireplace. A second former servant stepped forward from among the staff, then another. Each revelation struck harder than the last. One confirmed seeing correspondence destroyed. Another admitted hearing Euphemia boast that Ottilie would eventually stop trying. The carefully constructed story that had survived for 8 years began collapsing, piece by piece. Millicent looked as though the ground beneath her had disappeared. You lied to me. Euphemia's composure cracked. Millicent, listen. You lied to me for years. The younger woman's voice rose. Guests watched in stunned silence. I thought she abandoned us. She left. You threw her out. The accusation echoed through the ballroom. For the first time, Euphemia abandoned her polished manners. Everything I did was for this family. No, Millicent stepped backward. It was for yourself. Across the room, Duke Benedict Valamont stood motionless. The nobleman had listened to every word. The woman he intended to marry had been deceived for years. Her mother had manipulated an entire family. An ugly scandal had unfolded before hundreds of witnesses. The trust required for marriage suddenly felt impossible. The Duke's expression darkened. Slowly, he stepped away from the wedding altar. The movement immediately drew attention. Guests fell silent once more. Then, in front of the assembled aristocracy, Duke Benedict Valamont spoke words that sent shock through every corner of the ballroom. This wedding will not take place.
For several seconds after Duke Benedict Valamont's announcement, nobody moved. The ballroom seemed frozen in disbelief. Then chaos erupted. Conversations exploded across the hall. Ladies covered their mouths in shock. Gentlemen exchanged stunned looks. Guests rose from their seats, desperate to discuss the scandal unfolding before their eyes. The musicians quietly lowered their instruments. Servants stood motionless along the walls. The wedding that had been expected to dominate society headlines for months had collapsed in less than an hour. Duke Benedict offered no further explanation. Without another word, he turned and walked from the ballroom. Millicent stared after him, her face drained of color. The white roses woven into her hair suddenly seemed like decorations from a celebration that no longer existed. Across the room, Ottilie felt entirely out of place amid the growing commotion. She had never wanted any of this. She had not come seeking revenge. She had only wanted to see her sister. Instead, years of lies had exploded before hundreds of witnesses. As guests slowly began leaving the ballroom, Lady Constance Bellamy approached her. Unlike everyone else, the elderly noblewoman appeared calm. I believe we should speak privately. Ottilie followed her into a smaller drawing room overlooking the Western Gardens. Outside, evening shadows stretched across carefully trimmed hedges and marble fountains. A servant brought tea and quietly withdrew. For a moment, neither woman spoke.
Then Lady Constance reached into her reticule and removed a folded piece of paper. "There is something I would like you to have." Utterly accepted it. Written upon the paper was an address in London. She looked at it with confusion. "The Royal Nursing Corps," Lady Constance explained. "The Crown recently expanded its medical services. They are seeking capable nurses." Utterly blinked. The opportunity felt almost impossible. "I am not certain I would be accepted." Lady Constance smiled. "You completed your training without family support, financial backing, or social influence. If merit still means anything in this kingdom, they would be foolish not to consider you." Emotion tightened Utterly's throat. For years she had struggled alone. Those words meant more than she could express. "Thank you, my lady." Lady Constance gently squeezed her hand. "Do not allow other people's cruelty to determine your future." When Utterly finally left the estate later that evening, she carried far more than she had brought. Not wealth, not status, simply hope. Back inside Ashcombe Manor, however, the atmosphere had become poisonous. Most of the guests had departed. The magnificent dining tables remained covered with untouched food. Roasted pheasant, glazed ham, fresh bread, sugared almonds, fruit tarts, and elaborate wedding cakes sat abandoned beneath candlelight. Servants quietly began clearing away what should have been a celebration feast. In the bridal suite, Lady Euphemia Fairbourne was furious. Her face burned with humiliation. Years of carefully cultivated reputation had been destroyed in a single afternoon. "This is all her fault." Millicent looked up from her chair. "What did you say?" 8 years of peace ruined because she chose today to create a spectacle. Millicent stood slowly. The word stunned her. "She created a spectacle? Of course she did." The younger woman stared at her mother, for perhaps for the first time in her life she saw Euphemia clearly, not as a loving parent, not as a victim, but as the source of every lie. "You threw her out." Euphemia rolled her eyes impatiently. "We have already discussed that. You destroyed her letters. I did what was necessary." The casual response felt like a knife. Millicent could hardly believe what she was hearing. "Necessary? I shut her out to protect you. She would have poisoned you against me." Millicent stepped backward. "No." Euphemia's expression darkened. "You are too emotional to understand." "No." The answer came stronger this time. Years of confusion suddenly began making sense. Every unanswered letter, every silence, every missing explanation. Her mother had controlled it all. "I loved her." The words escaped before Millicent could stop them. For the first time, tears filled her eyes. "She was my sister." Euphemia's patience finally vanished. "Then perhaps you should go live with her." The room fell silent. Millicent stared. The threat had been spoken plainly. Her mother continued, "If you insist on defending that girl, do not expect to remain in this house." There was no hesitation now, no uncertainty. Millicent finally understood what mattered most to her mother. Power, control, status, nothing else. Not family, not loyalty, not love. By the following morning, Millicent had packed her belongings, a few dresses, several books, personal keepsakes from childhood, nothing more. She rented a modest room above a milliner's shop in town. The space was tiny compared to Ashcombe Manor, yet for the first time in years she felt strangely free. Several days later, she gathered enough courage to visit Duke Benedict. The Duke received her in the library of Valamont House. Floor-to-ceiling bookshelves surrounded them. Rain tapped softly across the windows. Millicent's hands trembled. "I came to ask you for your forgiveness." Benedict studied her quietly. The silence felt unbearable. "I know what happened was terrible, but I did not know the truth." Tears formed in her eyes. "Please do not abandon me." The Duke remained thoughtful for several moments. Then he finally spoke. His response changed the course of her life. "Before you ask me to reconsider our future, Lady Millicent, there is someone else whose forgiveness you must seek first."
Millicent sat motionless after Duke Benedict's words.
The crackling fire in the library was the only sound between them. Outside, rain streaked the tall windows of Valamont House, turning the world beyond the glass into a blur of grey. For several moments she struggled to speak. "You truly mean that?" Benedict remained calm. "I do." His voice held neither anger nor cruelty. That somehow made the rejection hurt even more. "I cannot discuss marriage while your sister carries the weight of what was done to her." Millicent lowered her gaze. Every memory from the wedding replayed itself inside her mind. Artillery standing alone, Artillery being mocked, Artillery revealing years of hardship, the letters, the lies, the truth. Tears filled her eyes. "I should have known." Benedict studied her quietly. "You were deceived." "I still failed her." The Duke did not argue, perhaps because deep down they both knew it was true. Millicent had not thrown Ottilie out, she had not burned the letters, but she had believed the lies because believing them was easier. When she finally left Valamont House, the rain had stopped. The streets glistened beneath gas lamps as evening settled across the city. For the first time in her life, she possessed neither certainty nor direction. All she knew was that she had to find her sister. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away in London, Ottilie stood before the imposing gates of St. Aldwyn House. The vast stone complex served as headquarters for the Royal Nursing Corps, recently established under Crown patronage. The building overlooked a broad avenue lined with elm trees and elegant townhouses. Carriages arrived throughout the day, carrying applicants from across the kingdom. Women from different backgrounds waited nervously in the reception hall. Some came from wealthy families, others arrived with strong recommendations. Ottilie possessed neither influence nor connections. She carried only her qualifications and years of practical experience. The examination process lasted several days. Senior matrons reviewed records, medical supervisors conducted interviews, practical assessments tested every candidate's skills. Ottilie approached each challenge with quiet determination. She answered questions honestly. She demonstrated procedures confidently. Most importantly, she treated every patient she encountered with genuine kindness. A week later, an official letter arrived. She had been accepted. For several moments, she simply stared at the page. Then she sat upon her narrow bed and cried. Not from sadness, not from grief, from relief. Years of sacrifice had finally led somewhere. Within days, she moved into the Royal Nurses' Quarters attached to St. Aldwyn House. The accommodation was simple but comfortable. A private room overlooked a small courtyard filled with lavender and climbing roses. The dining hall served hearty meals that seemed luxurious compared to what she had grown accustomed to. Fresh bread, stews rich with vegetables, roasted meats, warm pudding served after supper. For the first time in years, she no longer worried about where her next meal would come from. Her duties began immediately. Long days filled with examinations, treatments, and patient care left little time for anything else. It was during one of those shifts that she first met Prince Lucian Everly. The prince had arrived to visit a retired military officer recovering from illness. Ottilie noticed him only because several attendants accompanied him through the ward. Unlike many noblemen she had encountered, Lucian showed genuine interest in the patients rather than simply fulfilling a public obligation. He stopped beside beds, asked questions, listened carefully. Later that afternoon, he witnessed Ottilie comforting an elderly veteran struggling through painful treatment. She spoke patiently, adjusted his blankets, remained beside him until he settled. The interaction lasted only minutes, yet it left an impression. Several days later, their paths crossed again, then again. Each meeting remained entirely professional, nothing more. Yet Lucian found himself paying attention whenever her name appeared on duty rosters. Her compassion stood out, so did her quiet dignity she carried despite obvious hardships. While Ottilie adjusted to her new life, Millicent's search continued. She followed every lead she could find, boarding houses, former employers, old acquaintances. The effort consumed weeks. Eventually, one inquiry led to London, another led to St. Aldwyn House. When she finally arrived, her heart pounded so hard she could barely breathe. A receptionist listened politely before disappearing inside. Several minutes later, she returned. Lady Ottilie does not wish to see visitors. The words struck like a blow. Millicent expected rejection. Hearing it aloud still hurt. She stepped outside. The afternoon air had turned bitterly cold. Wind swept through the streets as dark clouds gathered overhead. Still, she remained. 1 hour passed, then another. Carriages came and went. Nurses entered and departed. The temperature continued dropping, yet Millicent refused to leave. As evening settled over London, lamps flickered to life along the avenue. Inside the building, Ottilie completed her final duties before returning to the nurses' quarters. The day had been exhausting. All she wanted was rest. But as she approached the entrance, something caught her attention. Beneath the cold evening sky stood a familiar figure. Her coat offered little protection against the wind. Her hands trembled. Her cheeks were pale from the cold. Yet she had not moved. Ottilie stopped walking. After hours of waiting, her sister was still standing there.
Ottilie remained frozen beneath the entrance lanterns of St. Aldwyn House. The cold evening wind swept through the avenue, tugging at loose strands of hair that had escaped beneath her nursing cap. Across the pavement stood Millicent. Her younger sister looked nothing like the confident bride who had once stood beneath crystal chandeliers, preparing to marry a duke. Her cheeks were pale from the cold. Her gloves were damp. The hem of her dress carried traces of mud from the streets. Most striking of all was the expression in her eyes. There was no arrogance, no pride, only regret. For several moments neither woman spoke. The sounds of passing carriages and distant hoofbeats filled the silence between them. Finally, Ottilie stepped closer. "You should go home." Millicent shook her head. "I cannot." "You've been standing here for hours." "I know." Ottilie looked away. Part of her wanted to leave. Part of her wanted to protect herself from further pain. Yet another part remembered a little girl who used to follow her through garden paths and beg for bedtime stories. "What do you want from me?" she asked quietly. Millicent's eyes immediately filled with tears. "I want the chance to say I'm sorry." The words came without hesitation, without excuses, without conditions. For the first time, Ottilie believed them. The sisters walked to a nearby public garden where iron benches sat beneath bare trees. Gas lamps cast pools of golden light across the pathways. Millicent told her everything. She admitted how easily she had accepted her mother's version of events. She admitted how often she had wondered why Ottilie never wrote. She admitted that she chose comfort over questions. Every confession seemed to cost her something. Ottilie listened silently. Years of hurt could not disappear in a single conversation, yet she could see the sincerity before her. When Millicent finally finished speaking, tears ran freely down her face. "I failed you." Ottilie stared at the cobblestones. Perhaps the most painful realization was understanding how much had been stolen from both of them. Not only money, not only opportunity, years, memories, a sisterhood that should never have been broken. Slowly she reached for Millicent's hand. The younger woman looked up. "I forgive you." Millicent began crying harder, not because she deserved forgiveness, because she knew she did not. The sisters embraced beneath the glow of the street lamps while the cold London wind swept around them. For the first time in 8 years, they felt like family again. The following morning, Millicent made a decision. If she truly wanted redemption, apologies would not be enough. The damage had to be repaired. That meant confronting the source of everything, Lady Euphemia Fairbourne. Several days later, Millicent quietly returned to Ashcombe Manor. The estate felt different now.
The grand halls seemed colder. The portraits lining the walls appeared less impressive. Even the servants looked uneasy. Many had witnessed the wedding scandal. Many already knew the truth. Millicent avoided notice as much as possible. Her purpose was not confrontation, not yet. She wanted answers. The family records were kept in a locked study. Her mother rarely allowed anyone to enter. As a child, Millicent had never questioned why. Now she intended to find out. Late one evening, while Euphemia attended a social gathering in town, Millicent slipped into the study. Dust covered many of the shelves. Leather-bound ledgers filled cabinets along the walls. The room smelled faintly of old paper and extinguished candles. She searched for hours. Tax records, correspondence, property accounts. None of it explained anything. Frustration began creeping in. Then she noticed something unusual. Behind a row of account books sat a small locked box. The key was hidden inside the desk drawer. Her hands trembled as she opened it. Inside lay documents tied together with faded ribbon. The moment she began reading, her blood ran cold. They were legal papers, her father's papers, his will. Her eyes raced across the page. Then she read it again and again, unable to believe what she was seeing. The estate, the investments, the properties, most had been left to Ottilie, not Millicent, not Euphemia, Ottilie. A separate letter written by her father accompanied the will. Its contents shattered her heart. He spoke of his eldest daughter's kindness, her intelligence, his hope that she would continue her education, his desire to secure her future. Everything he had planned had been stolen. Millicent suddenly understood the real reason her mother had acted as she did. It had never been about discipline. It had never been about family reputation. It had been greed, pure greed. Taking the documents carried enormous risk. If discovered, Euphemia would never forgive her. Yet hesitation lasted seconds. Millicent gathered every piece of evidence she could find. The will, property records, letters, financial documents. Then she left before dawn. Several days later, she arrived in London carrying a leather portfolio clutched tightly against her chest. Ottilie welcomed her into the nurse's quarter sitting room. The fire crackled softly in the grate as Millicent placed the documents upon the table. "You need to see these." Confusion crossed Ottilie's face. She opened the portfolio. The further she read, the paler she became. By the time she reached her father's letter, tears blurred the words before her eyes. Her hands trembled. For 8 years she had believed her father left her with nothing. For 8 years she had secretly wondered whether he had forgotten her. Now the truth sat before her in black ink. Holding the evidence in her hands, Ottilie finally realized that her father had never abandoned her at all.
The lawsuit became the most talked-about scandal in aristocratic society before the first hearing had even begun. From London drawing rooms to country estates, people spoke of little else. Newspapers printed speculation. Gentlemen discussed the matter in private clubs. Ladies exchanged rumours over afternoon tea, served in fine porcelain cups beside silver trays of cakes and pastries. For years, Lady Euphemia Fairbourne had enjoyed a reputation as a respectable widow devoted to her family. Now that reputation stood on the edge of collapse. Ottilie never imagined she would one day find herself at the centre of such attention. She had spent most of her adult life avoiding notice. Now every movement seemed to attract curiosity. Despite the pressure, she remained focused. The case was not about revenge, it was about truth. The hearings took place in a grand London courtroom, lined with dark oak panelling and towering windows. Each day, spectators filled the gallery. Members of society arrived early, hoping to secure seats. Some came seeking entertainment. Others came because they genuinely wanted justice.
Ottilie sat quietly beside her solicitor while stacks of documents rested upon the table before them. Across the room sat Lady Euphemia. She appeared elegant as ever. Her dresses remained expensive, her posture remained proud, yet cracks had begun appearing beneath the surface. The confidence she once carried no longer seemed unshakable. As testimony began, witness after witness stepped forward. Former servants described the atmosphere inside Ashcombe Manor after Ottilie's father died. An elderly maid testified about letters she had personally delivered to Lady Euphemia. A former footman confirmed seeing correspondence destroyed. Another servant recalled hearing Euphemia boast that Ottilie would eventually stop trying to contact her sister. Each statement weakened the defense. The most devastating evidence came from the documents Millicent had discovered. The original will, property records, financial accounts, private letters written by Ottilie's father. The papers revealed a carefully planned inheritance intended to secure her eldest daughter's future. Everything had been hidden. Everything had been ignored. Everything had been taken. The courtroom grew silent as portions of the father's letter were read aloud. Many listeners were visibly moved. Several ladies wiped tears from their eyes. Even individuals who had once doubted Ottilie now viewed her differently. Lady Euphemia attempted to defend herself. She claimed confusion. She claimed misunderstandings. She claimed she acted in the family's best interests. Yet every explanation collapsed beneath the weight of evidence. By the final hearing, few people believed her. When Judgment Day arrived, the courtroom was packed beyond capacity. The decision was delivered shortly before noon, the ruling entirely in Ottilie's favor. A murmur spread through the gallery. Ottilie lowered her head as emotion overwhelmed her. After years of uncertainty, the truth had finally been acknowledged. The estate would be divided according to her father's wishes. Properties, investments, and assets wrongfully withheld would be returned. The ruling changed everything. Within weeks, the consequences reached far beyond finances. Invitations that once arrived daily at Lady Euphemia's residence suddenly stopped. Friends who had eagerly attended her dinners disappeared. Social calls became rare. Doors that had once opened effortlessly now remained closed. People who had praised her for years no longer wished to be associated with her. The isolation proved more painful than the loss of wealth. For the first time, she experienced a fraction of what Ottilie had endured. Meanwhile, life began improving for the sisters. Ottilie took possession of the inheritance that legally belonged to her. The amount was substantial, far more than she had ever expected. Yet one of her first decisions surprised many people. She arranged for part of the recovered assets to be shared with Millicent. When her advisers questioned the choice, she simply smiled. Without Millicent's courage, the truth might never have been discovered. Their relationship had already become stronger than either believed possible. The younger sister visited London frequently. They shared meals together, walked through public gardens, spent evenings discussing the years they had lost. Slowly, they began rebuilding what had once been stolen from them. News of Millicent's actions eventually reached Duke Benedict Valmont. He learned how she had left Ashcombe Manor, how she had given up comfort and privilege, how she had searched tirelessly for Ottilie, how she risked everything to expose the truth. The more he learned, the more his opinion changed. The woman he thought he knew before the wedding was not the same woman standing before him now. This version of Millicent possessed honesty, courage, humility, qualities that only emerged after hardship stripped away illusion. One afternoon, while Ottilie worked within the wards of St. Aldwyn House, Prince Lucian Everley arrived to visit recovering patients. The prince spent part of the afternoon speaking with veterans and elderly residents under the nurse's care. As always, Ottilie carried out her duties without seeking attention. She checked medicines, changed dressings, offered comfort where needed. Lucian watched quietly, noticing how every patient seemed calmer after speaking with her, noticing how she treated a retired laborer with the same respect she would show a nobleman, noticing how she never spoke bitterly despite everything she had endured, Later, as his carriage departed through the gates, his thoughts remained fixed on one person. For the first time, Prince Lucian Everly realized something he could no longer ignore. He could no longer imagine his future without Lady Ottilie Ashcombe in it. The reconciliation between Duke Benedict Valmont and Lady Millicent Fairbourne did not happen overnight. Trust, once broken, required time to rebuild. Over the months that followed the court ruling, they met quietly on several occasions. There were no grand declarations, no dramatic displays. Their conversations took place during walks through private gardens, afternoon visits to country estates, and simple meetings where honesty mattered more than appearances. Benedict saw the changes in her. The proud young woman who had once accepted privilege without question was gone. Hardship had taught her humility. Loss had taught her gratitude. Most importantly, she had chosen truth, even when it cost her comfort, security, and reputation. Eventually, Benedict realized the woman before him was someone he could respect. Their wedding took place early in autumn. The ceremony was held in a small stone church surrounded by ancient oak trees whose leaves had begun turning gold. Only close friends and family attended. There were no newspaper announcements, no extravagant celebrations. After the vows, guests shared a modest wedding breakfast consisting of fresh bread, roasted meats, seasonal fruits, and warm pastries prepared by local cooks. The atmosphere felt peaceful. For the first time in years, Millicent experienced happiness untouched by deception. Meanwhile, life continued moving forward for Ottilie. Her work within the Royal Nursing Corps earned admiration from both patients and senior medical staff. Prince Lucian Everly visited St. Aldwyn House often, sometimes under official duties, and sometimes for reasons he no longer bothered hiding from himself. Their friendship deepened naturally. They spoke about literature, family, duty, and the future. Lucian admired her resilience. Ottilie admired his sincerity. Neither rushed what was developing between them. One spring afternoon, beneath blooming cherry trees within the palace gardens, Lucian finally asked the question that had been living in his heart for months. He asked her to become his wife. Ottilie stood speechless. The path that had brought her there flashed before her eyes.
You are no
longer... The suitcase, the boarding houses, the endless work, the loneliness, the humiliation, the courtroom, every difficult step. Tears filled her eyes as she accepted. News of the engagement spread across the kingdom with astonishing speed. Church bells rang in towns and villages. Newspapers devoted entire pages to the announcement. People who had followed her story celebrated the news. By summer, preparations for the royal wedding were underway. The capital transformed into a place of celebration. Flags decorated buildings. Shop windows displayed commemorative portraits. Crowds arrived from distant counties, hoping to witness history. On the morning of the wedding, the city awakened before sunrise. Thousands lined the streets. Children sat upon their father's shoulders. Women carried flowers. Men removed their hats as royal carriages passed. Inside the palace, attendants carefully prepared Ottilie for the ceremony. Her gown was elegant rather than excessive. Delicate embroidery decorated the silk fabric. A veil flowed softly behind her. As she looked into the mirror, she barely recognized the woman staring back. Not because of jewels, not because of status, because peace had finally replaced pain. When she entered the cathedral, sunlight streamed through stained glass windows, casting colors across the stone floor. The congregation rose. Prince Lucian waited at the altar. His smile carried warmth rather than formality. The ceremony unfolded beautifully. Vows were exchanged, blessings were spoken. The future prince and princess began their new life together. Following the ceremony, celebrations continued throughout the city. It was during one of those celebrations that an unexpected figure appeared. Near the edge of the crowd stood Lady Euphemia Fairborn. Time had not treated her kindly. Her clothing showed wear. Her posture lacked its former confidence. The woman who once controlled an estate and commanded respect now looked exhausted. When she finally approached Ottilie, tears were already falling down her cheeks. The crowd grew quiet. Everyone remembered what had happened. Everyone knew what she had done. Euphemia lowered her head. For the first time in her life, genuine shame appeared on her face. "I was wrong," she began crying openly. "Please forgive me." A heavy silence followed. Many expected rejection. Some believed it would be deserved. Ottilie looked at the woman who had caused so much suffering. Then she looked at Millicent. Her sister stood nearby, watching through tears. Anger would change nothing. Hatred would heal nothing. Slowly, Ottilie stepped forward. She embraced her. Euphemia broke down completely. Moments later, Millicent joined them. The three women stood together as years of bitterness finally gave way to peace. Around them, church bells rang across the city. The sound echoed through streets filled with celebration. As Ottilie and Prince Lucian departed to begin their married life, she reflected on the journey that had brought her there. She had once been a young woman thrown out with nothing more than a suitcase and a dream. Now she was a princess. Not because of wealth, not because of titles, not because of revenge, but because she had never allowed cruelty to take away the kindness that lived within her heart.